In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. On this service morning, we will unite in mutual prayer and thanksgiving according to the words of the Psalm 114. We have gathered again, dear Lord, around your holy word. Allow us to receive our portion for our souls. Allow your Holy Spirit to open your word to be alive and enlighten your congregation for the glory of Christ. You show your miracles to your own and show what is coming. You call sinners as your brothers. You ease our earthly cares. Enlighten your poor children with the Son of Grace. Allow your holy people us to be. Wake up those sleeping in sin from their condition of judgment. Allow them to come through the narrow gate into your kingdom, through the preaching of the Sermon of Atonement. All thanks be to you. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For the sermon, I shall read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, from verse 6 through verse 11, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen.
Tässä tekstin alussa puhutaan.
Here at the beginning of the text, it speaks of the time of visitation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. the time of visitation is such a time when God especially seeks for those people who have left on their own ways. To travel this earthly journey according to their own mind and will. It is defined in the Christian doctrine, the time of visitation, in such a way that in human's life there are times when God especially pulls one toward him. So time of visitation is especially this, that God pulls person to him, toward him. God seeks for a sinful person. Just as it happened there in paradise, when after the fall into sin, Adam and Eve were hiding. God called for them and looked for them. The time of visitation is such time when God seeks for a person who is not living in his kingdom. In the second letter to Corinthians, in chapter 6, it said in this way, we appeal to you, receive the grace of God, so that it is not in vain, because he says, at the right time I have heard you, at the time of salvation I have brought you help. Now is the right moment. Now is the day of salvation. And in the letter to Hebrews, it says that if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. God seeks for those who are lost and awakens the feeling of sin in one's heart. Then when someone feels in this way that he has done wrong, had wrong choices, and one does not have peace in one's heart and conscience, for such a person, at the time of visitation is precisely now, today. There's no knowledge about tomorrow. If you, dear listener of the word, at this moment experience that your heart is restless, sins are burdening on the conscience, weighing it down, the peace of heart is now offered to you. It does not require any deeds of you, from you, no good deeds, but only believe. Believe that Christ Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood, has shed it precisely for you. You can, in Jesus' name and atonement blood, uplift your own heart to believe, unbelief, and all sins forgiven. And in this way, live with the peace of God in your heart to journey forward the rest of the journey of this temporal path, so that eventually God will take you to heaven after death. Here in our text it says that let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yesterday we heard about the prodigal son, how he left his father's house, spent everything and lost his faith. But there in his misery, he remembered his father's house and returned. He turned, God caught him, and he returned back to the father's house. Here in Psalm 139, it relates how all of us people before our birth are in God's plans and thoughts and are creation of God from conception. All that are to be born already have faith in their heart. It relates here how you have created me from the innermost. You have created me from my mother's womb. I am a great miracle and thank you of this. Your deeds are miraculous, I know it. I have my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. All children are born as children of God. But if the Holy Spirit is not able to be there in one's heart, guiding and advising, and there's bread of life delivered at home, then faith in the heart dies, and the enemy of the soul receives a victory. You older people probably remember, nowadays we speak very little about people that are sorrowless. But here in Christian doctrine it speaks of that, or it has its own chapter about the sorrowless with title sorrowlessness. I will read here. If the Holy Spirit cannot take care of one who is baptized in the care of Christ, the spirit of the world will conquer one's heart vaguely he yearns for eternity and God. He knows the emptiness of his life, and at times sin bothers him, but he does not recognize that the most important thing for him would be the salvation of his soul. This condition is called sorrowlessness. And it continues here that without the Holy Spirit we are cold, without inner peace and joy, righteous and godly wisdom, without humility and the shaking of the moving of the conscience. God does not always speak to people, but gives those times to people when he calls. But a person who lives in sorrowlessness does not experience in his heart that he needs salvation. But we can pray that God would be calling always these kind of people toward him, and that people would be obedient to the invitation.
Niin kuin tässä tekstissä sanottiin, että sillä hän
as it says here in our text, that for he will pardon, according to the old 1776 Bible, for his forgiveness is great. According to the Biblia earlier translation, it says that there is much forgiveness. This gospel from the kingdom of God does not end, does not run out. There will be enough always and for everyone as long as God proclaims his word here in time.
Aika, että me emme sitä.
Then when God's time comes, we do not know when, but the doors are closed and the sermon preaching of the gospel ends, but then this temporal time is coming close to an end. We can ask and plead to Heavenly Father that he would us, his dear children, bring in such a way and guide in such a way that we all will make it to the glory of heaven. It came vividly to my mind that there are lots of us fathers and mothers here at services, and we have children, we have those who have been preserved here in the partaking of God's grace, but also those who are on a journey of a prodigal son. I would think that there are maybe some others, fathers and mothers, who experience that you are poor home priests. So little you speak about the matters of faith, and we speak about matters of faith, even though such children who have moved away from home, as in our family. You are probably in your mind pray on behalf of your children, and I thought that when I so poorly or so weakly speak about these matters, maybe you join into that thought that we can turn to our God and ask that God would those children, one of ours, who have been preserved in faith, they would always have strength to see the destination, everlasting life, as the most important matter in this time. And those who have left the Father's home for the world trip, that God would give them yet the grace of returning. I believe that this is all fathers and mothers' plea and prayer. By God, in the kingdom of God, there is indeed much forgiveness. Not one who returns and has remorse is told to go away, but is preached the gospel of eternal life. Even at this moment, if someone is hearing who experience that sins are weighing down, believe in Jesus' name and blood, all your sins forgiven. Our text then speaks of the thoughts of God, how they are much higher than the thoughts of man. It says here that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man's thoughts easily circle around the temporal matters, and God's thoughts are, of course, about our temporal matters too, but God's point of view always is this, that how he leads our life is, it's according to the point of view into eternity, so that all things here in our temporal lives would lead to that, that we would once be able to be with him one day in heaven. In the same psalm which I quoted already, it speaks of human's life and how God knows all of our faces. Lord, you have, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God knows all the phases of our lives. We often ask regarding to a certain thing that is not according to our mind, that why does God allow this? But as we could see in our text, that God's thoughts are so far higher than ours, that it's better not for us not to even try think for an answer to all these questions. But it would be good to just trust in the guidance, in the guidance of God. Here in the chapter 40 of Isaiah, it says, raise your gaze up on high. Who has created this all? He who calls the troops of heaven in its full strength, he who knows them by name, every one of them. Great is his strength. Not one of this flock is been left behind. We can completely trust in the guidance of God. It also came to my mind, you elderly people came to my mind. I am not quite an elderly person, but almost in the club. But especially, and also you who are tied to your sick beds, maybe you think that, am I here? Is it just in vain that I'm here still? There's no role for me anymore. Life has been lived, and there's no use of me in this temporal life. But even in that, it is so that God does have some purpose to your life still. I will tell you an experience if I can, I tend to be the type of a person who gets moved easily. About a year ago, my father was allowed to move away from this time. During his day of departure, I received a message that it would be good now to come. The departure is coming near.
Menin ja sairaalassa tapasin isäni.
I went and met my father at the hospital. He reached his hands toward me and preached to me the gospel. It was my father's last duty. A few hours passed by, and he was able to depart. I thought yesterday, as I was preparing for this sermon, that what kind of a reception there is in heaven. God does not think in this way, that this poor traveler I'm now gonna fetch from earth, from time. But he looks through his son's atonement work. He sees that I will take one away who has fought a good fight, finished his course and run and kept his faith. It is so, dear ones, that God always sees us as pure and holy when we have that desire to endeavor as putting sins away. Even now, at this moment, as it speaks there at the end portion of the text about that rain that touches the ground of heart, you can uplift your heart to believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. And you can trust into the guidance of God. We are not makers of our own fortune here, but God knows us, and He knows us to be weak, but pardons us and wants to bring us to Him in heaven. Remain believing, sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, Amen.